Ready or not, here I come.
It really was a phrase that brought me a lot of, if not anxiety, then certainly adrenaline as a kid, right? You thought you had the perfect spot. Spoiler, my dad used to play this game with us, and rather than actually find a hiding spot, he would leave the house and go to work, leave us hunting for hours. So you can compare notes, you can take that up with him and my mom this evening if you'll be here for 7 o'clock. But it was this phrase that, upon hearing, set my heart into little itty-bitty palpitations, right? And on this, the fourth and final Sunday in the season of Advent, the phrase seems to ring out as clearly, as loudly, and as true as ever. And if I'm going to be honest, it's offering me at least a little bit of that same adrenaline that it used to all those years ago. Ready or not, here I come. Perhaps today it would be more accurate to say, ready or not, here he comes. After all, this is it. These are the last moments of waiting and preparation in this season of Advent. This morning, the season and the day are quite literally pregnant with the anticipation of Jesus' arrival. Here and now, whether we feel prepared or not, God is coming. The entrance starts, as so many important biblical accounts do, with an angelic visitation. Here we know that it is doubly important by the presence of Luke's named messenger, Gabriel. Gabriel, this harbinger of clarity, this great member of God's holy court, heads to a little nowhere town called Nazareth that even Luke has to tell his audience is located in the larger region of Galilee. For such a little town as this, Gabriel's visit would have been a monumental occasion. Yet in this little, extraordinarily plain town, Gabriel seeks out a seemingly extraordinarily plain young girl by the extraordinarily plain name of Mary. As he greets her, he names her as the favored one, and he passes on what is apparently great news, that she will bear a son. She will name him Jesus, and he will be the Son of God. Ready or not, here he comes, Gabriel says. The hide-and-seek shot of adrenaline from hearing those words must have been nothing compared to the feeling that washed over Mary in that moment. I mean, while it is Gabriel who does most of the talking, the briefest insight we get into Mary's internal train of thought tells us a great deal. Even from the angel's first greeting, Luke tells us that Mary was much perplexed as she wondered as to what sort of greeting this might be. I mean, this average girl in this less than average town having a face-to-face encounter with Gabriel himself? There's no way that Mary would have ever thought that that's what her day would involve. More than that, though, imagine the initial sense of terror that would accompany the news that Gabriel brings. She, Mary, the young unwed virgin, was going to have a baby? On so many levels, she was not ready for this. I mean, first and foremost, the fact that she was still a virgin tells us that she and Joseph felt that they were not yet prepared as a couple for any children just yet. For most folks, such decisions were perfectly within their own capacity to control. At least her relative Elizabeth, who the angel tells Mary is also miraculously expecting a child, well, at least she and her husband wanted to have a baby in their old age. At least for them, this similar news was an answered prayer rather than a bolt from the blue. But ready or not, the child is on his way. To add an even more complicating layer to this whole ordeal, the young couple's unmarried status all but guaranteed that people would talk. In the moment of Gabriel's announcement, surely the proposition must have crossed Mary's mind about what others
might say of her. Surely it must have crossed her mind about what Joseph might say of her. Surely there was at least a certain sense of terror as she faced such prospects. Surely the question must have haunted her. Was she prepared to deal with that? As Mary regains her voice once again in this visitation story, she responds to Gabriel's onslaught of news with a simple and totally warranted question. How can this be, since I am a virgin, she asks. How could this possibly happen, she wants to know. Because by her count, what Gabriel is here describing, the prospect of having a baby in her current state, well, it's simply impossible. There's no way that such a thing could ever happen. And when Gabriel answers her, I don't know if these are truly words of comfort or if they heap on the levels of anxiety. No, 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 Gabriel says. The child is the child of God. They will call him the Son of God. But hey, no pressure or anything. Despite all of these nerve-wracking and more than slightly terrifying prospects, what follows from Mary is what raises her up as such a paragon of faith for the rest of us. Whether it is with renewed determination or with a sigh of resignation, her final words to the messenger are simply to say, "Here am I, servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." And suddenly, this ordinary girl from a little extraordinary town is lifted up into the most extraordinary of roles. I mean, can you imagine making such a response? Can you imagine having the boldness of faith to step out and say, "All right, let's do this"? In this last Sunday of Advent, even as we are scrambling to put our final preparations into place, it is only fitting that we should give thanks to God for Mary, the mother of God. Through her, the impossible has been achieved. Through her, God has entered the world. And more than that, though, through her, God has chosen to make humanity God's dwelling place. God chooses to live in and through God's people. You know, when David finally comes into his throne, after building a house for himself, he strikes upon this idea of building a house for God as well. And on the face of it, it's not a terrible idea. And even the prophet Nathan endorses such a course of action. But ultimately, God says that such a plan misses the point entirely. After all, who was David to set up a home for God? God was the one to establish his house. And God would be the one to choose where God would reside. And ultimately, in the fullness of time, God chose to take on a home for our sake. Through Mary, God chooses to reside with God's creation in order that God might redeem that creation. See, that's the whole point. When God steps into humanity, when Jesus is born into the world, it isn't done for some simple divine experiment. This isn't an earthbound field trip for God. Such unprecedented movements are made for you. God comes into the world for your sake and for mine. By taking on the fullness of God's divinity and becoming fully human, by being born of the Virgin Mary, God experiences the fullness of our humanity. And not only finds it to be a life worth living, but finds it to be a life worth saving as well. This is the God who would go to such ends in order that you might know God's presence at whatever ends you find yourself. God is coming to find you. The waiting is almost over now. Ready or not, here God comes. Amen.